a bit of work on kind of alignment and setting up a posture. So you can have some sense of the space around you, the room around you. Maybe the neighborhood just outside of your, wherever you're sitting. And then let's just find the breath in the body always available to us. One of the good things about the breath, we can't lose it. It's always there. Maybe let's take a couple of slightly deeper breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. You might want to make a bit of sound on the out breath, but just putting a bit of weight on the out breath, clearing out any kind of stale air. Just bringing a bit of aliveness to the body. So as you breathe in and out, just have a sense of what's above your head. Ceiling of the room, the rest of the building, then allow your imagination to go upwards. Have a sense of the sky above you. Quite playfully, let's imagine that our skull, the bones of our skull, have an affinity with the sky. So as we are breathing in and out, we're just imagining releasing those bones, particularly the bones of the crown of the head there, just releasing upwards towards the sky. Face relax as you do this. So we're not trying, we're just playing really. The sky's there, our skull's there. We're just allowing there to be an imaginative, maybe even kind of energetic relationship in the top of your skull, in the broad, deep open sky above you. Having a sense of the sky on the in-breath. Might even be drawing sky into the body. A sense of the sky on the out-breath. While we're releasing the head upwards, we're also relaxing down from the crown all the way down the body to the root. We've got these two complementary kind of directions. One is releasing up from the crown. Another is relaxing down from the crown, down your length, down your kind of core, your kind of imaginal core to your root. We're doing this as we're breathing in and out. And you can see if it feels different releasing and relaxing might sort of hold into the rhythm of the breath. It might feel quite different on the in-breath and out-breath. Feel with the image of the sky above you. Nice soft face, keep letting the face continue to soften. To be like to sit with a really soft face. We're going to let the sky remain there. We're going to imagine what's below us. Got some sense of the floor for the physical contact with some parts of our body. We're going to go down through the foundations of the building, down through the crust of the earth. I think I'm right in saying that we've got a molten iron center to the earth. You can imagine this kind of molten, fiery center. Thousands of miles below you. Again, it's just playful. We're going to imagine that the bones of the pelvis and maybe the bones of the leg are kind of attracted downward towards the center of the earth. We're going to do this as we breathe in, as we breathe out. Noticing how it feels to imagine releasing the bowl of the pelvis down towards the center of the earth. On the in-breath, and how it feels to release the pelvis down towards the center of the earth on the out-breath. So kind of using the breath to loosen the body. We're loosening it in such a way as we're allowing the pelvis to drop downwards. At the same time, the crown and the head to release upwards. We've got this image now of making the posture, this continuous making of the posture as we breathe in and out between earth and sky, as if our body is making a connection between the earth below and the sky above. You can imagine this however it offers itself to you. Earth implies sky, and sky implies earth. And your body's like a kind of ladder or a vine or a connection somewhere. Maybe like a tree. Trees are really quite nice from the point of view of posture, because of their kind of historical connection, but also because, of course, they draw up nourishment from the earth. They also receive energy from the light above. Remarkable process of photosynthesis, isn't it? And they make light into sugars and proteins. Anyway. we're just breathing. And if we can allow our body to respond, the actual bones, particularly the bones of the pelvis, to respond to the image of earth, and the crown and the skull to respond to the image of the sky above us. Now we're drawing up, probably on the in-breath, all the way from the root to the crown, and even kind of releasing up further to the sky. And then we're relaxing down from the crown to the root, probably on the out-breath, but don't worry if your experience is different, that's fine. Go with your experience rather than my description. That's just my description. Kind of imagining that the earth element, material element, has been drawn up, while the non-material element, light, space, has been drawn down. Nice soft space. Release the legs a little bit if you can. Let's imagine the pelvis as it is, in a way, a bowl. Let's imagine the skull. Top of the skull of a kind of another bowl, but inverted bowl. And the bowl of the pelvis and the bowl of the skull are kind of energetically reflected in one another through the body, particularly through a kind of imaginal central channel, which is somewhat analogous to the spine, your spine. So as you drop the pelvis and release the crown, the skull, imagine that there's a little bit more space beginning to appear between the sort of vertebrae of your spine. It's lengthening down and it's lengthening up. Spine curving up through your body. Relax the face and the leg and the hand. Just breathe in and out of the sky above you. And the earth below you. Let's just add the heart, your heart, midway between the pelvis and the skull, the sky and the earth. Heart in your lungs, the wings of the heart. Lungs sort of wrap with a drape over the heart a little. With your heart supported by the earth, and attracted by the sky. Animated by the breath. My soft face. Playing. Let's be aware of one another. Be aware of the other people sitting with the sky above them, the earth below them, and the heart at the core of their being. I'll just keep in the posture for a little bit longer. Just stop trying to do anything at all. Just see what happens when you just leave things alone. What's left? I'm going to pass over to Bodhi Leela.
Thank you, Paramananda. I'm still resurfacing. Went really deeply with that meditation. Thank you for that. So I know it's not ideal, going from a meditation into a more discursive space. And maybe people prefer to be quiet, but it is an opportunity. If you want to share any of your experiences meditating or on the retreat, got any questions? It's quite, it's an opportunity to be able to talk about meditation with other people and explore it with other people. I know it was years before I ever did that, and mostly we get to do it if we go on a meditation retreat and we have like a 5 or 10 minute review with a teacher or something, or in a sort of collective space, you know, like we do in some of our classes here. So if you feel like it, just go for it. And if you feel a bit shy, you can always post it anonymously in the chat, and Panyanita will read it out on your behalf.
Okay, I'll be brave. Bodhilila was in the small group that I was in, and she said I might like to raise the topic I talked about for a wider group. And it was something that I've thought about along the way. So I've been doing meditation for a long time, and there's that thing of you expect to get less distracted or less thoughts coming through the longer you do meditation. And I'm not sure I've got any better at not having those thoughts coming through. I've just kind of worked on strategies to kind of live with it or manage it. And some of them are to think of my mind, the brain cerebrum part of my mind, as a kind of transformer that's just generating lots of decision making and thoughts and a lot of rubbish as well, really, and try to focus that at a deeper level. I am focused or calm and getting the benefit of the meditation, and then just try to bring that thinking mind back every so often and get back to not following and chasing those thoughts. So I guess there's a little progress in recognizing when I have gone off into those different tails, and coming back and not beating myself up about it and just thinking, oh, that's good, you've become aware of that and you're back on track. But it's not long before mind skids off again. So I suppose I've always wondered, and hoping that I get the benefit at a deeper, maybe body level, even though the mind does all of these sort of spinning off and narratives happening. So that was what we were talking about.
And I respond to that. Who am I speaking to, by the way?
That's Sue.
Hello, Sue.
Hi. Hi.
Quite a lot in that, really. Yeah. I mean, the thing that kind of occurred to me as you were talking was, I wonder where you imagine this imaginary I. That makes any sense. You don't necessarily have to answer that. I'll just leave it out there. You know, where you imagine yourself in a way. And I think one of things we can do with meditators over time is to geographically or territorially relocate itself into the heart area. Yeah. So what if we manage to do that, if we start imagining that the center of ourselves is the heart, yeah, this means that the sort of brain, and it's brain, so one thing I do is stop calling that mind and calling it brain, because anyway, I won't go into that, but you know, in this way of thinking, we could say mind is throughout the whole body, or I don't know if we can quite say that, but we wouldn't necessarily equate mind with brain activity, yeah? And start imagining that your sort of self or the center of you is the heart. So then brain activity is kind of going on at the periphery rather than at the core. And so, you know, I think what happens, see, why I'm saying this is that I think what really happens is not that we might have periods of meditation where there's very little cognitive activity, but it's more that we stop identifying with that cognitive activity. So it kind of weakened. It might not disappear, but it's no longer dominant. You know, I'll shut up in a minute. One other thing I'd say, I would look at how I'm doing, because I mean, unfortunately, I think it is true that there needs to be some level of ability to concentrate and meditate. So I would get together with a good meditation teacher and really deconstruct what you're doing in terms of developing basic mindfulness, to be honest with you. But I can't, you know, I don't feel we can do that here, but I would do that. I'll find someone, you know, and really go into how you're doing. My main suggestion would be to privilege, to just keep trying to come back to the heart area. And try and imagine that as the middle of you, the core of you. And insofar as we can talk about having a self, try and imagine the self in the heart rather than in the brain cavity.
Yeah, I think that's all helpful. And I do a meditation with a teacher that's also associated with your center during the evenings once a week, but that has been helpful. So that's why I tend to look at the brain more as a transformer with all those thoughts, but more centered in my body. More I feel it in the sort of solar plexus, but I could also try locating it in the heart area.
Solar plexus is fine. Yeah.
And that has been helpful, actually. Yeah, it's been helpful and it's also that posture of he's been talking about being like a more like a lion, so you're aware of things going on around you, but you don't have to respond to it, and then you carry on. So yeah, it has been helpful to work with somebody on those things, actually. Yeah,
I mean, I suppose it also depends what your expectations are, doesn't it? If you expect to have no thoughts, you're probably going to be disappointed. I think it is a, you know, line analogy is quite nice, because it's more about we stop reacting to them, you know, we stop adding to them.
Yeah.
So it's that when we get caught up in and go with them, and to some extent that is postural in a way. There has to be a real alertness. That's partly why the posture is emphasized so much in most meditative traditions. If you're putting a lot of attention into the body, into maintaining the posture, there's not a lot of attention left over the conscious mind only processes a very small amount of information at one time, you know. So if you're actually putting a lot of awareness, say, into the how you're holding your hands or wherever it happens to be, that's not actually anything, not enough kind of capacity for much else, you know. So we put the attention into the body, into the physical posture, and then the mind should, if the posture is correct, and if Dzogchen is correct, if the Zen tradition is correct, if you take the right posture, the mind will take care of itself.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'll keep, you know, but it's a long-term project, isn't it? But how long have you been meditating for?
I did a TM course in 1982.
Yes, TM's a bit, I did TM when I was a teenager. And yeah, it's a basic concentration mechanism, because you're and most people, I think, probably imagine with beating mantra in their head, it keeps the energy quite high. You know? The other thing I'm very, very keen on, which I haven't written up, you know, I might go into, I'm very keen on these days, is the importance, the fundamental importance of relaxing the legs. You need to relax the legs. I know it sounds ridiculously simplistic, but I'm completely convinced that actually most people, one, hold tension in the legs, and two, if the legs are not fully relaxed, the posture will always be quite weak. And if the posture is quite weak, the mind will tend to wander. So you need the foundation, really. Your lion needs a good, solid foundation, you know. Otherwise,
I was just saying, like, the group meditation I find quite powerful, and it helps quite a lot with that. I was meditating with a stool, and I find that quite comfortable, and I'm not aware of any discomfort in my legs when I'm on a stool, a kneeling stool, you know?
No, I'm not talking about discomfort, though. Most people are not particularly aware of holding in the leg.
Okay.
It won't necessarily be manifesting as discomfort.
Do you think a kneeling stool is a good, a useful...
Well, I've never used one, so I don't know. Plenty of people seem to get on fine with them. Yeah, I think.
I feel good using that.
Yeah, well,
I use different postures.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the hints. Tips.
Handy tips. But no, relax the legs, soften the face. You know, there's so much you can do with the body, you know. It doesn't usually work to try and, you can't really think yourself out of thinking, you know. It just doesn't work. So you have to find a different strategy. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Sue. That was a good one.
Hi, it's Colette here. I wanted to ask a question about posture, actually. Mainly because I I'm never comfortable for very long, and so I've Paramananda, I've heard you say this before about the legs, about relaxing the legs, and I've often kept it in mind, but I don't know how to do it, because I don't know where the tension is and how to feel it in my legs. That's the first bit. And the second, so I don't know how to locate it to switch it off or to let it go. But also, where, you know, you could kind of go through the body and take all the tension out, but where should the tension be? What's holding me up? Because sometimes I'll get, you know, it's like my back gets a bit compressed or something. So I don't know what should be supporting me and what should be just...
Excuse me, sorry. Well, it's all, you know, the basic thing about posture is that you're aligned with gravity. And to the extent that you're aligned with gravity,
sorry, we've lost you, Paramananda.
To the extent that you're aligned with gravity, you'll be using the minimal muscular tension to hold yourself. Of course, there is muscular. The muscles are engaged with the posture, you know. I mean, obviously, if you completely relax, your head would just flop out and you'd fall over. You know, so there is a dynamic tension in the body. So it's not like we can relax everything. I mean, actually, even with the belly, you know, people often say, oh, relax the belly. Actually, there needs to be a little bit of a strength in the belly just below the... somewhere below the navel, you know, there's a dynamic tension in the posture. But if you align properly, there'll be, you know, minimal muscular tension. So the tension we're trying to get rid of is unnecessary holding, you know. So, you know, if you, it's like, I think it was either today or yesterday, you know, Bodhi Leader said, recognize that one of her, you know, somewhere during the meditation, she recognized that one of her shoulders was held, you know. And this is what happens, you know, we suddenly realize that, and it dropped, you know, we might realize it because it suddenly let go, or we might become more aware of it and we were able to soften it. You know, so first of all, you've got to make sure you're as aligned as possible. But, you know, I'd say it's more of an imaginal, if this makes sense. It's an act of mind, if we can use that word, an act of imagination. We're imagining the posture. That's why, you know, I'm banging on about the sky and the earth and trying to imagine making the posture between them, because there's only so much you can do consciously to align a body. A body will come into alignment when it's relaxed. You know, so the posture, when we first set up posture, it's always kind of approximate. These days, what I say to people is that ideally, and this is my experience very often, I mean, it depends if you meditate for too long, it breaks down, but over a 40-minute meditation, my posture is going to be better at the end than at the beginning, because I'm going to breathe into that posture and I'm going to slowly soften the body. I'm going to keep imagining. Well, it becomes, I mean, this is the thing, if you do it enough, you don't really have to do anything. Your body learns to do it itself, you know. But initially, we kind of support it by using our imagination, you know. And, you know, we do that in all sorts of different ways, you know. But I mean, the only way, and coming back to the legs, I mean, you just got to sit there and breathe the legs, you know, just keep breathing and keep being aware, keep just gently bringing the awareness into the legs. And at some point, something will happen, you know. I mean, there might be other things you can do outside of meditation, but.
Thank you.
That help at all? I mean, what?
Yeah, I love this idea of the imagine or the kind of working imaginatively with the posture.
I mean, this sounds a bit harsh, and it's not particularly directed at you, but actually, I do think it's important that one learn to sit still. I think that's quite important, you know. It doesn't mean we never move, but it doesn't mean we don't fidget around, basically. The other thing is that we learn to sit with a certain amount of discomfort and not be too bothered by it. Obviously, you know, that we have to make a very clear distinction between discomfort and pain. Pain is when you're damaging the body. Discomfort is just discomfort. And you can learn to sit with that, you know. But, yeah.
Yeah, that's a helpful distinction as well. Thank you.
And I think everything Paramahansa said, I think it's been really great and I agree with it. But I was struck by you saying that you've never felt comfortable in your posture, so.
Not so much that I never feel comfortable, but I always find there's often discomfort. So I've got a few sort of glitches and old injuries that reemerge. You know, my ankle does this and my knee does that, and I find it hard to settle with all my joints feeling in the right place, and just, you know, that feels like an ongoing process. But there's also the sort of, I just notice that at different times, different discomforts come in. So my back, my shoulders, my neck, sometimes my lower back. As I say, my ankles, or one of my ankles will go dead at one point. I'll have to move it. So there's a lot of sort of glitches, but then there's this overall thing of what is the posture I'm trying to aim for anyway, and I don't, you know, what should be relaxed, what can I relax, what can I find and tune into and relax. And the bit about the legs, I've always struggled with.
Face is a good one. Relax your face, relax your hands, relax the bits of the body you can relax, you know.
Right.
But I'm interested, sorry, buddy, but I'm just interested, you know, being our resistance very often manifests through the body. I think we have to recognize this. And, you know, you use that lovely, what seemed quite a poetic phrase to me. You sort of, what did you say? You said you were disjointed, or? You feel disjointed.
I don't think I said that, but I don't know.
Got it on tape. What chat? So you said that about your joints, didn't you? And
maybe. Yeah, it's like I want to find the right place for each of my joints.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay. I added the disjointed bit, yeah. So then I made a skip. You're disjointed, but it's quite somehow I find that quite an interesting thing. You want to find the right place for each of your joints. See, I don't think you should. I mean, this is going to sound quite a bit paradoxical, but we shouldn't take the body too literally as meditators. We should understand that the psyche is manifesting through the body. So a lot of the discomforts we have in meditation are psychological. Well, I don't like the word psychological, but they have their kind of source in the psyche. So they're kind of a certain kind of resistance.
Yeah, that speaks to me actually.
And you know, I often sit with a numb leg or whatever, you know, it's fine. I've been doing that for 35 years and I can still walk, it's all right. Hasn't done any damage, you know.
Okay.
Right. Well, it is time to end there. Thank you very much, Paramanand, and thank you very much, Sue and Colette. I think some really rich exploration there that I'm sure everybody will have been able to benefit from.
Thank you. Thanks from me.
Yeah, thanks for, you know, being bold and speaking. It's great. Helpful to all of us.
So, yes, if you want to unmute yourself, say goodbye or say goodbye in the chat, feel free. And then we'll be back tomorrow, 8 o'clock for meditation and 10:30 slot, which Paramananda will be leading tomorrow.
I'm Batman.